Here we are in the Congressional Corner with one of my favorite people, not only in politics, but in the world, Congressman Richard Neal, otherwise known to his friends and devotees as Richie. Richie, let's start with Roe v. Wade, overturned by the Supreme Court. What happens now?
Well, it was a surprise when the decision came down, largely because even though it had been predicted, it's pretty obvious from the background news that Justice Roberts was attempting to find some sort of an accommodation that would not have completely overruled Roe. It's a demonstration of, I think, the inconsistency of the confirmation hearings for Roberts, Gorsuch, and certainly Kavanaugh, who all stated that they accepted the principle of settled law. And I think now the battle lines will be clear. They're going to return to the states, and the difficulty with that is as the states have become bluer and redder, there's unlikely to be any sort of opportunities down the road for compromise. So I assume that the Governor Baker position here in Massachusetts will prevail. So it will be available. The procedure will be available in the blue states, and it will be largely outlawed in the red states. Although I thought that the Virginia proposal from the new governor yesterday left a little bit of room.
Are you hearing from a lot of voters, particularly women voters?
We're hearing from them, and I think that what we're trying all to do is to dissect not just the meaning of the abolishment of the precedent of Roe v. Wade, but we're also looking, I think, to try to figure out if there are some suggestions that can challenge this in the near future, coupled with the fact to make sure that the procedure is available to those who desire it.
You know, the Democrats have the House, they have the Senate, they have the presidency. So what are you hearing from constituents on the court's rightward lurch on guns, religion, and abortion?
Well, I'm not surprised. I think that clearly many of their previous writings have made ample evidence as to where they would head with some of these controversial decisions. I think that the leak that came from the court just months ago, it certainly turned out to be prescient, coupled with the fact that the courts have been a battle now, at least since Earl Warren's time, and one could make the argument before that all the way back to the Roosevelt years and the New Deal. And oftentimes the court swings against popular will, which some would say in the judicial arena is what makes the court independent and not subject to the whims of public opinion nor campaign motives when they proceed. So I don't see much surprise here in what they've done. I do think that we're going to have a chance as time goes on to find more opportunities as to what Roberts actually was trying to do behind the scenes.
We'll assume that he was trying to do something which maybe you and I would agree with. How can that really change this lurch?
Well, I'm not sure that we're going to change the lurch, but I do think that there are a series now of elections that have had great consequence for the Supreme Court and indeed for the American people. I recall back all the way to the year 2000 when people were saying that there was really no difference between Al Gore and George Bush, and I would submit that the Supreme Court is a difference. And I heard many people say with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in 2016 that it was not much of a difference. And I would submit today that the three nominees that took place during the Trump years, that's a difference. I just think that there are long-term consequences to these votes, and no more evident is that than with the Supreme Court. I think that lifetime tenure in many ways is very important because it does give discretion and a sense of independence, but it also allows members of the court to lean against public opinion and popular will. And I think in the case of Gore, as it would have related to climate change, the Supreme Court, and a number of other decisions, that there was clearly a big difference. And that self-congratulatory note that we heard from many people in those at that election time where they said there was really no difference, and then pronounced again with the Hillary Clinton race for president. So Richard Nixon appointed four members of the Supreme Court, including Justice Blackmun, who wrote the famous opinion in Roe v. Wade, but not to miss the point that that was a very different time and there was a moderate tone. And in this instance here, these members of the court, they have lurched more in the direction of what, if I might use the historic reference, Barry Goldwater would have said an activist court, except it came from the right.
Now, Richie Neal, hearings on the January 6th committee have begun, of course. What do you think about what you're hearing?
Well, I'm really not surprised, but I will say that I was very pleased. I was riveted on the first couple. bit more challenging to get to all of them that were scheduled in the midday. But the first hearing from that took place from 8 to 10 on the first, I think it was a Monday evening, it certainly got my attention. Not only is the choreography exceptional, but it's the fact-based quest that I think has been outstanding. And I was talking to Speaker Pelosi not long ago, matter of fact, Saturday, and we were talking a bit about it, and I said that for those of us of a certain age, one of the interesting fulfillments is we all remember Sergeant Joe Friday, who said, "Just the facts, ma'am." And I think that we're seeing just the facts, and we all should be alarmed as to the path that the former president took in an effort not to just solicit opinion, but to really overturn the election. And some of the cranks that were around him and giving him that legal advice on the conspiracy theory, I think that there certainly was a major effort here to undo a national election, which Joe Biden won by 7 million votes. And I think what we need to be alarmed about is sort of this crackpot philosophy that was developed as to what electors can and cannot do. And I was pleased with the Justice Department officials, belatedly, incidentally, who said we all took an oath. And they advised the former president repeatedly, consistently, and assertively that, in fact, what he was purporting to be a false outcome was not only untrue, but it was dangerous to democracy.
Do you see him going to jail?
I don't know how Merrick Garland's going to pursue this. I do think that you'd like to believe here, and I have always thought that there's another example of an election where Merrick Garland should have been a member of the Supreme Court. And I think that just in the Justice Department, Alan, you and I have been around for a long time. I think we want to stand with the principle that there is not a Republican Justice Department or a Democratic Justice Department. There is a Justice Department. And I think Merrick Garland, in so many ways, personifies the ethics of what I've just explained.
Well, I have so much more to ask you, Richie Neal. When we come back the next time, I'm going to start and ask you about what is your reaction to the gun reform bill passed by the House and the Senate.